guys, Jake Carlson here, host of the Modern Leadership Podcast. Are you ready to focus on amplifying your leadership superpowers? Let's go. Good morning, my friends and fellow elite achievers. Welcome to Modern Leadership, the podcast where each week we sit down with authors, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to explore their journey, diving into the ups, their downs, and ultimately the lessons they learned along the way. Our goal, of course, is to show that everything is figure outable. Today's guest expert is Amber Hurdle. Amber is the CEO of the consulting firm that bears her name, Amber Hurdle Consulting, a multi-award-winning talent optimization firm that pioneers using both science and marketing principles to strengthen customers' brands from the inside out. And today, she is our modern leader. Amber, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing terrific, and we just got done talking about you finished your workout, you're ready, you're all prepped. But before we jump into Amber Hurdle Consulting, tell me a little bit about you on a personal level.
Well, on the personal side of things, I have a lot of roles that I play. I am wife, I am mom, I am mom to many. My 17-year-old son usually comes with a whole... We call them the crew. So they've been mine since about the sixth grade. And so my grocery budget is very large.
Especially the ice cream section.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's always, yeah. So there's a lot of activity there, very involved, obviously, with him. And then, you know, we are entertainers when it's not COVID-19 and, just super social. I love to host, I love to participate in nonprofit, activities and help them raise money through hosting events. And we love hanging out with our friends and our family. We're very close to our families. I'm one of six kids. So I talk to my siblings just about every day, like all of them.
Are they local or are you guys spread out?
Yeah, we've got some kind of all over the country, and some of us are here in Middle Tennessee. So we're more intentional about staying in touch and, you know, thank God for group chats and Facebook groups and things like that.
Yeah, let me ask you a little bit about that. That isn't the topic of our conversation today, but I am intrigued and interested. How do you maintain or how did you create this strong relationship with your siblings when many families, including my own, you know, were spread across the country? And I'll be lucky if I talk to my siblings, you know, once every quarter.
Yeah. Well, I think COVID really helped with that because just before COVID, my parents were essentially the poster child for the Nashville tornadoes. I mean, they were on CNN and like in magazines and stuff. Their third floor apartment was because it just was, I mean, it just ripped off their entire roof and they escaped with their lives with about 30 seconds to spare. So we got really intentional about constantly checking in and, you know, how's mom and dad doing? So we've got one thread that hilariously is called Butthead Family. And so that's everybody. And then we have another thread that I think my brother named, yeah, Andrew and the Pips. So those are our threads that go. And you know, it's just if we think that there's something funny or if it's like a running family joke, you know, or if somebody has a life update or just having a bad day or whatever, then we put it in there. I mean, there's commentary about what's going on in, you know, the news and current events. And I mean, that's just our touch place. We've always been close. And with so many kids, you're constantly celebrating something, especially with grandkids. So we tend to get together as often as possible, but we're all super crazy independent. I mean, super independent. And my parents raised us that way. So having a thread like this where you can hop in or get caught up or whatever is a lot easier than trying to like, okay, let's have Sunday dinner every Sunday. Like that just doesn't work for us.
Yeah. And what I heard you saying is don't wait until a tornado rips the roof off your parents' place to connect with your siblings. So thank you, Amber, for taking us down that little bit of a tangent detour. Now let's jump into Amber Hurdle Consulting and really this idea of winning talent optimization firm. You're a multi-award winning talent optimization firm, but you're also this customer's branding firm. And I want to ask you what the difference is, what the focus of your company is from an optimization of your employees or your customers.
So the way that I approach the employee experience, so everything from recruiting all the way to succession planning or exit interviews if somebody has decided to move on or you're helping them move on. So that entire continuum, the way that I approach that is through a public relations lens, which is really about uniting science and branding, just like big companies do with external stakeholders or customers.
So your focus is more of a smaller growing company, but what is this idea that you mix this science?
Yeah, so I have Fortune 100 clients. This whole philosophy works no matter if you're a small shop or a giant shop. So let me just kind of break it down from an external standpoint, because I think you'd understand that much better. So Nike does an awful lot of market research. I mean, billions of dollars are paid each year to do market research, to collect data, to fully understand how to attract and retain customers. Now, once they have that information, they know that there are different segments within their markets. So Nike is going to promote to like a competitive athlete differently than the soccer mom who's wearing athleisure wear to Target every day. The competitive athlete is still going to get the same brand, but the messaging is going to be altered because they're looking more for performance enhancement. Soccer mom is looking for comfort and fashion. So different messages. What we don't do well, by and large, is we don't go through that for our employees. So we want these people to uphold our brand. We want these people to ensure that everything gets created, that, if you sell widgets, that those are done with excellence. We want people to offer services, and we want them to ultimately create a customer experience that's exceptional. But then we don't invest in our own people. So what I like to do is to collect data, not only on the team members that already exist within the organization, but on every single person who applies and we're interested in. And what that looks like is having a full understanding of the type of employee we want to have, just like a company would want to know the type of customer that they want to have. And I know, just like Nike has different markets, that each of the positions that we have within the organization require a different type of personality or behavioral profile. The person who's going to sit behind a computer and work on payroll all day is a vastly different profile than an outside sales hunter. Those are just two different people. So you can't put out a blanket job ad, and that's exactly what it is. It's an ad. So we have to treat it like an ad and expect to attract the right person for a very unique position. So when we apply the science to it and we apply the data that we have collected, we can create an ideal employee profile, just like you create an ideal customer profile for that position.
Now, this is really interesting, Amber. I think of, your Fortune 100 companies that have, a lot of employees. And I often talk to my consulting clients in this way as well. And maybe you can help us here. If you're big, like Google, like Apple, like Nike, and you have a bad hire, they get lost in the shuffle. Now, they're not going to take your company down. They're going to hang out for a little while, then they're going to get a bad performance review, then they're going to get let go, or they're going to go somewhere else, but they're not going to have that huge of an impact on your company. But if you take this back to the small business, when we're talking about law firms, dental offices, plumbing companies, medical offices, where you're talking about 5, 7, 8, 10 total employees, each person on that team can have a huge impact of your company going up or down, and you have to be much more intentional about your hiring. But then what I hear you saying is this data tells us kind of where we were. How do we use that data to tell us where we're going?
First, we want to consider the team as a whole. Where are our gaps? And I'll use one of my clients as an example. They have a very strong team, an amazing culture, and they are mostly a bunch of rule breakers, to just use lazy language. Okay. So they are not the behavioral types to dot every I and cross every T. And so when we're looking to round out that team, since they're, I would call them vitamin D deficient, because it's a D on the profile that I do with them. And I happen to use a tool called the predictive index, which there's a behavioral profile, a cognitive profile, and then a job assessment. So when we're looking at the team as a whole, first we have to understand what's the business strategy. Where are you wanting to go? What does the executive team want to do in the company moving forward? Okay, do we have the people in place to get you there? all right, well, we do in these areas, but it looks like you really could strengthen the inventory management side of things, and that would definitely impact the bottom line. So if we know that we have a bunch of people who don't dot I's and don't cross T's, and we're having an inventory issue, or that's a problem that can be improved upon, then maybe we need to hire somebody who loves to dot I's and cross T's. And so once we put that profile together, we know exactly who to bring into that particular team to meet those business objectives. You cannot do any of this without first understanding the business goals of the organization. Now that I know that, now that I can see that, I'm going to pull in whoever this position would be reporting to, maybe somebody on the team that is already in that role. In this particular case, we had to create something very different, but let's just say somebody was already in that role, we're hiring again for that particular role. I want to have a conversation with somebody who's knocking it out of the park. I mean, just if I can replicate them five times, my life would be great. So then their immediate supervisor, maybe a supervisor once removed, if that's the size of the company, maybe the executive over that role and somebody from HR. In a perfect world, not every company has those layers. And some companies are too big. You're not going to have the executive, you know, getting into the nitty gritty that much.
And what you're talking about is not like a black and white division. Because the first thought that came to my mind is, how do we create within our company? Let's say we do have this group of rule breakers and we bring on somebody who is a dotter of I's and crosser of T's. Don't we just create kind of a, this is the cool kids, and then here's kind of the loner who doesn't kind of fit in and does his own thing, his or her own thing?
No. So that's why it's so important that we develop self-awareness among everyone on the team. That's why we have to test the entire team, because they need to understand that the yin and the yang go together. And so when they can see, like, okay, I call it, you have to bubble wrap. I hate weaknesses. Like, forget about weaknesses. I do all of these things amazingly well, and I'm not going to try to fix those things that inherently are not going to be things that I'm wired to do. So instead of looking at that and saying, okay, well, I suck and I need to improve upon this, I just go, okay, I need to bubble wrap that. That needs some bubble wrap over there. And so at that point, I know I have to build some environments around that to support me. And one of those environments is a people environment. So who can I lean on, or who can I bring in that will complement that part of me that I have no interest in and I actually suck at? So when they start looking at, like, okay, I'm a super innovative person, I'm very creative, but man, I never hit my deadlines and my projects never really get to where I want them to go, then you go, okay, let me get some bubble wrap around that. Let me appreciate this person who might annoy me at times, but they're going to hold me to deadlines and they're going to make sure that there's some structure. I might be the creator of change, but without an implementer of change, we're never going to see my dreams come to fruition. So it's understanding that it takes all types. And so then you don't have the cool kids versus the loners, because everybody's needed on the team.
Yeah. And everybody recognizes the value that each team member brings to the team, and that we can accept people's differences and, styles and personalities and so on. So let's look at some of the biggest and most common mistakes that employers make when we're talking about this type of atmosphere.
There is no strategy.
No strategy at all. It's just whatever suits my fancy today. When I come in the office and unlock the door, that's the way we're going.
Well, if you're looking, and I'm not exclusively into hiring, my greatest passion is once everybody's on the team, how does that team dynamic work and move things forward? It's like, chess. But you have to start with hiring right. And so what happens is managers, they're putting things out on Indeed or LinkedIn, and it sounds like this: you should come work for our awesome company. Our company is awesome. And man, we do great customer service and we have a spirit of excellence.
Apply here. Full of rock stars. Come be one of them.
Right. It's like, wonk, wonk. Okay. That tells me nothing. So another branding principle is you have to be able to differentiate your product from everyone else. What makes you unique? And the second sales principle is to address what's in it for me. And so if I'm working with a company, I'm going to ensure that every job ad, and it is an advertisement, looks like an advertisement. So section one is about you. because they don't give a crap about you. They don't. They want to know about themselves. Tell me why I want to work here.
So when you say about you, you mean about the potential employee?
The potential employee, yes.
This is why you'll fit in here and enjoy it here. This is what you can expect coming here.
So just like an ad is going to tell you why this product is for you, we're going to talk about you. And we're going to do that because we know what type of behavioral profile we're going to hire for this particular position. And then we're going to just lift words out of that profile report and put it into the job description. If you are a risk taker, if you don't need a lot of supervision, if you are somebody who loves spitballing and creating ideas with other people, and you're fast-paced, you're proactive, never reactive, and the rules for you might sometimes be suggestions, then this job is for you. Now, when somebody reads that, they're like, oh my gosh, it's like this job was made just for me. Well, I used words to create an emotional response, just like we do in traditional marketing. So the first part is about you.
Before we go to the second part, how do we avoid this trap of, I want to be this way, we're not this way. Therefore, when we communicate in our ad, we're going to tell you, you know, we're looking for a risk taker. We're looking for someone who comes in energetic, takes the stairs two at a time. But really, in reality, we're not that company yet. We may want to be. How do we avoid bringing somebody in that is excited about the ad that we've created, and then they get inside and they peel back the curtain and they go, oh man, it's a mess in here.
Well, you have to be honest. I mean, if you're not ready for that person, then you don't hire that person.
And I don't know if it's an honesty thing. I think it's really I think sometimes we color our world a little bit more rosy than the reality is. And that we, you know, it may be in our true intention, we feel like this is what our company looks like. And then they, you know, our employees come in and they're like, that's not the way it is. The boss is dreaming. That's not the way it really is.
And so the data comes in to support the truth. Again, when you test and you validate your entire team, you can see on paper what type of an organization you are. So you might have like a startup might be a super fast moving company that needs some risk takers because every day the rules change. If you're a more established company or like a bank or something like that, you're going to be a more stabilizing organization, and you're going to need more stabilizing profiles to help you maintain that. And so whatever brand you have externally is the brand that you should embrace internally, and you need to attract people for that. I'm going to go back as an example to the client that I was telling you about that needed that balance. So I was with the leadership team, and we were live. I had my team that was creating this profile that I mentioned, the people who are going to be working with that person the most. But we did it in front of the entire leadership team so that they could understand and realize the process. So what they decided, and I let them do everything. I didn't give any feedback until the end. What they decided so there's like a continuum, right? There's this pattern that we're looking for, the scientific pattern. And this was created 70 years ago in the military. I mean, this is very
tried and true and tested.
Yes. So when we're looking at that D factor, okay, so if this D factor is on the midpoint, then that is the norm. If it's anything to the right, is considered a high drive. If it's anything to the left, it's a low drive. But the intensity or the volume of that drive increases the further out it goes from that midline. So this team is like, oh yeah, we need to have somebody who just loves the rules. This inventory manager's got, so they put this D drive like three sigmas to the right, which is as high as you can go. And I just looked at them and I giggled a little bit and I said, okay, so the majority of you don't like the rule book at all, and you want to invite somebody into this climate and this culture with this team and have them be the Nazi rule person, like that's who you want on your team. And they're like, oh no, that doesn't sound like that's going to work. I was like, well, if you want conflict, I mean, for sure. I'm like, what if we had this person, Heidi, but pretty close to the midline so that they could be situationally flexible? And they're like, oh yeah, that's much better. That's much better. So we're being honest about who we're attracting, because the data makes us be honest about who already exists in that in the world. And so, you know, if you're leaving that to the leadership team to make those decisions, they could get themselves in trouble. But you have somebody like me who can read the tea leaves and guide them down the right way.
Well, and this is where the science comes in, because a lot of times we're making hiring decisions based on our gut or what we think we need. And that's just not going to cut it. And what you're talking about here is bringing in data, really looking at what the reality is and what we really need intentionally and bringing that person in. So that's our first section. Why you? What's the second section? And we're going back to the job ad.
So why us? So that should be easy, but it can't be vanilla. So again, when I do this presentation, I show actual job ads on LinkedIn and how they all look the same. And so tell us what makes it special to work for you. And don't use the same old stuff. We're people. Like, I don't want to hear that.
All the cliches,
yes. Is there something unique about the city in which you operate? Do you have a pet policy? Do you do beer at noon on Fridays? Like, for example, Chico's in Naples, Florida, or I guess that's Fort Myers. They did have this whole Friday experience. They had a refrigerator just full of beer and they did service projects together, or they paid you to go do a service project. They had all these great cultural elements. So obviously you want to talk about that and not just be like, we're an excellent company. We have fun. We love our people. Be very specific about why do you want to come to work for us versus this company down the road from us who might pay you a little bit more, but you're not going to get the same experience. So you got to get clear on what's in it for your candidate. You've got to get clear on what makes you special. And then the third section is the boring stuff.
Qualifications and skills.
Yes, but please don't post a list of job tasks. Only put out there. It's just like when you are advertising for Frosted Mini Wheats, you're not leading with the ingredients list. You are leading with the bigger picture items. So if you're going to advertise the role, then advertise those key areas of ownership. So like 5 to 7 key areas of ownership for this position. And then once they apply, you can give them the blah, 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 blah. But that's not sexy in an ad. Likewise, be sure that you do, fair, square, and legal. Make sure that all of the pieces that can get you in trouble if you do not advertise them, whether that's, certifications that are required or equal opportunity language, anything like that, you want to make sure that you include it, because Indeed will kick you off the platform if you do not cover your bases. So you certainly get with HR, certainly get with legal if that's, if your company's that big, to get that boilerplate part correct.
Do you have any recommendations for sorting through the pile of resumes that we get that are people, especially I noticed this on Indeed, on ZipRecruiter, where they can just auto apply for everything. Like something comes up and they just auto apply for it. And I get 300 applications for receptionist and I get them from people who are lawyers. I'm like, you're not going to be happy as a receptionist at my law firm if you've already got your law degree.
Right. Yes. So again, I go back to the data and the software. So, we look at the head, we look at the heart, and we look at the briefcase. So starting with the head, we're going to have you take the behavioral assessment, and it's a fit or it's not. There's no gray area there. We've already created a job profile. Again, in the software, your little team of people has agreed upon by answering simple questions like, will this person be interacting with the community? Will this person be working alone? Just really easy. You don't have to understand the science behind it. You just yes or no type questions. And then it spits out a profile with a particular pattern, and it gives you recommendations of, what type of profiles would be good for that particular position. You pick one, you have a pattern that comes out. And then every time somebody takes the assessment, the software says, yep, they're close enough to this pattern, or no, they're not. So now you've already filtered and funneled your candidates down to only people who are a behavioral match. Now you can take them in. So we've measured the head. Now you can do an interview. You can measure the heart. Do they have our values? Are they a cultural fit? And you look at their briefcase. What's their pedigree? What does their resume say? That sort of thing. And you have a whole picture of the person. Because if you're not doing all three of those, you really don't have a whole person. I don't know if you've ever had somebody who came into an interview and you're like, this person's a rock star. I can't wait. And then 90 days later, you're like, who are you?
You know, Amber, this happens to me almost every hire because I love everybody. And maybe not every hire, but every interview. I'll bring seven people in and I'll be like, I think all seven of them could work for me and I'd be happy with them. And thankfully, I get a second opinion, a third opinion, and we have multiple interviews because that's the challenge that I face is I like people and I see the best in people. And it's not always the reality when they come to work for you.
It's not even often a deception. It's that what they have experienced in their last 90 to 120 days is that they were expected to behave like this. And so they're coming in showing you what they think you want. But what happens is there you cannot fake that behavior for too long because it's going to cause too much stress. It would be like me trying to sit behind a computer and not talk to anybody all day long. That would not work for me. And so what happens when you get your behavioral report for your candidates is you see like their DNA, you see their actual pattern. This is who they are. This is how they were designed. It doesn't change much over time. This is this person. Then the second graph, it shows how they've had to stretch or flex in the past 90 to 120 days in order to get the job done. Now, sometimes that adjusts because of, you know, something crazy like COVID, you know, and other times they're really stressing themselves to try to operate outside of their natural behavior. And so the bottom graph is going to show you a combination of those two and is going to show you who's showing up in that interview. So it's really important for you to look at that top graph and say, is this person a fit or do I just like this person? I'm trying to make them fit.
Amber, this is a fascinating conversation. And I think you and I could go on all day about this because as a business owner, hiring and my people are my most important decisions that I make. And I think it's a leading indicator of how my business is going to do. But unfortunately, as we run to the end of the time allotted for this episode, we need to shift gears and bounce over to the four questions of learning from leaders. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
All right. Our first question then, is the book currently on your Kindle or bedside table? What are you reading these days?
I am actually reading a pre-release copy of Self from Love, which is by Finka Jerkovic.
And what do you think so far? Because by the time this episode goes live, maybe that book will be ready.
She's brilliant. How she approaches everything, it comes from just encouraging great authenticity. And I think everyone would enjoy that book.
Very cool. How about your leadership superpower?
Empathy. I'm very in tune with the emotional and mental condition of the person in front of me. I just can feel it.
That is so important in your line of work and in this conversation, a topic that we've just discussed. How about a motivational quote, philosophy, or mantra that you live by?
I always go back to just do you. When I get nervous, I'll give you an example. I was taking the stage at the Stella and Dot National Conference a couple years ago. And the only external speakers were me and Brené Brown. No pressure.
Oh, no pressure there.
Yeah. So I did a morning session with one of their sub-brands. And I was already nervous at that point because I kept being called funny by lots of audiences. And I was like, well, I don't know how to repeat that. I don't try to be a humorist. And so I'm about to get on the big stage with a bigger group. And the COO, I believe, introduced me and she said, oh, I heard about her session this morning. You guys are going to love her. She's going to make you laugh. Everybody was dying laughing. She's going to be so funny. And I just, other side note, I just wasn't able to get into a comedy class I was trying to get into so I could understand, like, why am I funny? What is the humor? And I looked at her and I was like, I'm going to die right now. Like, I'm going to die. What if they don't think I'm funny? What if I don't do the same thing twice? And I just thought about it and I'm like, you know what, Amber? Just do you. Just get on that stage. You tell everybody this all the time. Just do you. And it was fabulous.
Well, congratulations. And I believe in the energy of the individual. And when you're being you, that energy is out there in the universe. Those in the audience can feel it. When you're faking, when you're trying to be somebody you're not, they won't resonate. It won't land. And so I think that's just great advice. Our final question then, Amber, is the book that you most often gift or refer to friends, family, and colleagues?
I'm going to boil this down to clients and colleagues, because I think it would be different than what I would recommend to my friends. And that is The Big Leap. It's all about limiting beliefs and upper limit problems and being able to get to your next level by clearing that space in your mind.
Yeah, I love that book. And I love this idea of, you know, don't go for 1x goals. Don't go for 2x goals. Go for the big leap. Go for 10x goals. And even if you don't get 10x, hey, who's going to complain about 9x or 8x?
Right, exactly.
Amber, this has been a fascinating conversation. I love this topic. You obviously know your stuff and have done so well in presenting it to us. Thank you for coming on. Before we let you go, how can we find out more about you and how can we learn about the Velvet Machete brand strategy?
Well, you can certainly go to amberhurdle.com. And if you want to take the predictive index behavioral assessment, you can do that for free at amberhurdle.com/predictive-index. And then you'll fall into my little world where I'll beat you over the head with the Velvet Machete brand strategy, which is all about having strong personal brands that lead strong employer brands that create strong business brands.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to link all of that up on the show notes so the audience can go to one spot and find it all. I have taken the predictive index assessment and it's worth your time. It's worth finding out, you know, these predictive ideas that are out there, how you approach different things. So thank you, Amber, for coming on the show. Thank you for being this week's Modern Leadership Guest Expert.
It's been a great pleasure. I appreciate you.
All right, my friends, and a big thank you to Amber for coming on the show and talking about a topic that is so important as business owners, right? Getting the right people on the bus, getting the right people on your team. And how do we kind of sift through those who are just pretending? Or how do we identify what we really want, what we really need? We talk a lot on this podcast about being intentional. I think this was a conversation of intentional hiring and not just intentional with our gut or our feelings, but using the data, using the reality of what our company is, what we do, and what we need to bring on the right team members. Of course, everything that we talked about on this episode can be found on the show notes, jakeacarlson.com/ML197, episode 197. And until next week, I want to wish you the very best of days and even better life. And remember, everything is figure outable. Thanks for listening to the Modern Leadership Podcast. You can find me on Facebook at Speaker Jake, on Twitter at Jake A. Carlson, and of course the website, jakeacarlson.com. See you there.